the earth I will draw all this.
And lift Jesus high tonight.
Lift Jesus higher. Lift glory. Jesus higher.
Glory
to him now for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restored my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restored my soul.
And in unity and in oneness.
Oh, yes.
And Lord, we just remember,
Please,
Father,
Jesus.
There are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who can't do this like we are. For Father, they are persecuted. They are imprisoned.
Mm.
Some even tortured for the faith. Some where families have been split apart because they love Jesus.
Mm.
Lord, we just remember them. And Father, we ask that you will strengthen and support them and give your angels charge over them. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are building your church, your body in these last days. And you're causing us to wax strong and bold in faith, Father, and to be firmly resolute upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, this can only be a work of the Holy Spirit, and he has come to baptize us, to take us deeper into a deeper walk. And Lord, I pray that all those tonight who listen to the word may experience this deeper walk but in the Spirit, Father, as you are preparing your bride as she makes herself ready for the coming of the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we are a called out people, a separated people. Although we're in the world, we're not of it, Father. And you are working the world out of us and the spirit of this age. Amen. And Lord, we thank you tonight for your word as it goes forth in healing and deliverance and salvation. For Lord, you have come to deal with the whole man in mind, body and spirit. And Lord, we simply present ourselves as we're to do in Romans 12, 1 and 2, as that living sacrifice, Father, and that we believe that you will take that sacrifice for your glory. Lord, we thank you for the way you are changing our hearts from stone to flesh, that you are working in the inner man first. And the Lord, the deliverance that is taking place in the mind and the thinking, where we are able by the power of the Spirit to close those doors where we were once oppressed and held. Father, we thank you for this. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we have that liberty in your presence. Lord, we desire above all to glorify you, to lift the name of Jesus, because it is the only name above all names. It is the only name we know. We know no other name.
That's right.
And Father, you said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And so we thank you, Father, for your sheep, your remnant, tonight in fellowship, Father, around the world. We thank you for this, in Jesus' name.
Oh, in
Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, this evening our teaching is asking, seeking, knocking. That is what we're going to be talking about tonight, asking, seeking, knocking. And we're going to base this from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. And I'm going to just read this out and then we shall begin to open this up. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And so, with Jesus teaching many times like he did in parables, and these parables are very powerful. They do really tell us things about what he wants us to know. And he gave many times these principles to us, and particularly here about answered prayer, seeking God, the prayer of faith, and so on. And this is why tonight I've asked this asking, seeking, knocking. And I want to break this up into those three areas. And I want us first to look in the area of ask or asking. Now, in Mark 11, 24, which is some scripture we know very well, but I'm just going to read this to you quickly. Here is a principle with regard to asking in Mark 11 and verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now there is a real principle of prayer and faith. And here it's emphasized in asking. And he says here, whatever things you ask when you pray, so it is in the mode of prayer and asking. So one is before God, whether in your closet or a time of prayer, it is in that prayer that you ask God. And believe, there it is, faith is essential to be released in that asking. So if you ask, you ask believing, and you receive of them, or receive them, and you will have them. So it is believing, asking, before you have visibly, manifestly seen that which you've asked for. And that's what takes faith. Many of the saints walked by faith for many, many years, seeing it by faith, seeing it in the faith realm. And that faith realm is very real. We're told in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance is real, is actual, it's evident. What is the evidence? The evidence is the Word of God. We can only release our faith by the Word of God as we read this and we take it in. And so as we learn the Word of God, we receive those promises. We then, on the basis of those promises which have been given by God, we can ask for those promises, believing. So this asking is very powerful. In actual fact, you can't ask if you don't know, which is quite logical, because we do that every day in our at work or at home with our family or at school or college or whatever it would be. You can't ask if you don't know. So you ask, or you ask a question. So you have to be inspired, you have to be influenced, you have to have some sort of knowledge in order to ask. And so God is challenging us to ask of Him. And He doesn't want us to ask amiss. We see this a little bit more if we turn, for example, to John 14. John chapter 14 and verse 13. John 14 and verse 13. And here He says, "And whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So He shows us a little bit more, that we ask by faith. We then learn that by asking, we ask in His name, because His name is the name above all names. Amen. It says that whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of Jesus. So we receive on the basis of that name. And so He says that whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we ask in that name, not only because it's the name above other all names, not only because it's the name given to us, which is a revelation of God's name, but above all, we ask in that name so that the Father is glorified in the Son. Everything that we learn, every principles that we're learning, all come back to one thing, that God may be glorified. He wouldn't give it otherwise. We would not even be here tonight if it was not for His glory. And so our faith in asking, receiving, is that the Father might be glorified. That is the whole purpose of it. And I think sometimes we're not asking, or we're asking amiss, or we're still asking in unbelief, because we still yet have not learned that this is about God being glorified. When you seek God and you ask Him, you need to bear in mind, asking Him in faith, in prayer, I'm doing this for one purpose, that the Father, my Father in heaven, may be glorified through his Son Jesus Christ. That is the sole motive why we come and we ask, that God may be glorified. Now, this might be starting to expose wrong reasons why we ask, and therefore we ask amiss, as James says, because we're asking in the wrong motives. My asking is for self, my needs, what I want to do. And that is why maybe God doesn't actually hear it. We're asking, we're speaking out verbally, but God isn't hearing, because we're not asking in order that God ultimately may be glorified in my asking. Let's turn also to the same chapter, chapter 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7, he says here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So here it again is this asking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. So there is an abiding, there is a fellowship. That's what it really means, to abide. Christ in you, you in him. That speaks of fellowship. That speaks of abiding, staying, remaining, resolute. Not sort of coming out and coming in, being in God's presence and then going out of his presence because of sin, unbelief and wavering and so forth. You can't abide unless you're in a relationship. The same as our relationship with one another or in marriage. So here he says, with regard to asking, he speaks about abiding, abiding in me and my words abiding in you. So the word of God has to abide in us. And if the word abides in us, that means Christ abides in us, because he was the word made flesh. And you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And so as we delight ourselves in the Lord, it says he gives us the desires of our hearts. And so he says, as you delight in me, and you glorify me, I will put those desires there and you will ask of me that I may be glorified. You see, we've got religious people today who says, ah, yes, but you can't say this because there are some things you can't ask of God. Well, of course there are some things that you can't ask of God. There are some things that are not morally and ethically right. But the question is, if you abide in God and he abides in you, you dwell with him, then the Holy Spirit is going to inspire you. He's going to work on you so that you ask of him for one purpose, that he may be glorified. And when he is glorified, then you are glorified. You are encouraged. Your faith is quickened, but it has to come first and foremost for the glory of God in this asking. And finally, let's turn to chapter 16 and verse 24 of John, the same same book, John 16 and verse 24. And here he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he says, after I'm glorified, that you seek me with the right heart and the right attitude, that I may be glorified through the Son. He then says, goes on to challenge us. He says, well, until now, you haven't really asked me anything. Ask in my name, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, your joy can't be full until you have been a joy to your Father. You have to get priorities right. You see, this is why we have to take the whole Word of God in its context and find out what he's saying. So he's saying your joy may be full because you've already been a joy first to your Heavenly Father. He has taken joy, delight in you asking, because you came with the right motive, the right heart, to glorify his name first in this. And he says, then your joy also will be full as well.
Praise
And what he says, we'll all be happy. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God wants. He wants us all to be happy, but he has to be happy first. And we get it round the wrong way. I want to be happy first. It's self, I, that's motivated. And this is why God is working the cross in us that deals with the self-life, me. For what purpose? For his glory. And as he gets yourself, myself out of the way, you can ask confidently, knowing that the Father will give to glorify his Son, because he's dealing with the self that comes before him in the wrong motives. This is why our motives have to be pure, right before God. That is what the bride is going to be characterized by, is by her motives that are pure and holy before God. You may say to me, oh, but brother, you don't know what I'm going through and I'm battling sin and so forth. You may well be, but you can still have pure motives before God. And those pure motives are that you are broken, you are in repentance, you are seeking him with your whole heart. I remind you again, King David committed gross sin. There's nobody here or listening tonight to this message who committed what he did, and yet God said he has a perfect heart before me. What was God saying there? God was saying that in his seeking me, he is perfect. Because when he seeks me, whether in blessing or in brokenness or in sin or whatever he's done, all he desires, that God will be glorified. And therefore God says he has a perfect heart. If that is all you desire with all your heart, that God may be glorified, even if you come before him and you've sinned, but you desire that he will be glorified, God will say to you, as he said to David, you have a perfect heart before me. Why? Because your motives are right, are pure. That's the point. You see? And that is what the Holy Spirit is working with us. And therefore, we can ask of him. You see, God expects us to ask in faith, believing. You see, one of the main reasons he challenges us to ask is to see if we're really believing. And you can, I'm going to say this now. You can only really believe, there can only be faith really there, that mustard seed of faith that glorifies God, if you have the right motive and heart. Because God can't turn you away. You have a heart after him. You see? So isn't God wonderful? How he's working with us, circumcising those hearts. That circumcision is that we might have pure motives. And indeed, right motives with each other as well in our unity and our fellowship. There are some who are not here tonight because they were coming with wrong motives and wrong reasons. What is our motive? Our main motive to come even here tonight, the motive should be to glorify Jesus.
Amen.
To glorify and lift him up, that the Father may be glorified in him. Praise anything him. Other than that, God will not accept. And when we get that right, we get our fellowship right.
Yeah.
We get our faith right. We get everything right. The Holy Spirit then can be present and he can minister and anoint as he wants to, and he does. But we have to come with right motives. We call it clean hands and a pure heart. And that is what gives us the boldness to come into his presence. And that boldness will stir up in you that asking that the Son may be glorified in the Father and the Father in the Son. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
It's quite simple, really, isn't it, when we break it down and you can see it like that? Well, that is the asking. We then move on to the seeking. Remembering, we're basing this from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. We're now going to look at seeking God. And this seeking is finding out, seeking something, finding out what God is saying, waiting on him, learning from him. In many ways, we could say tonight, we've come to this meeting to seek God. And in our seeking, as we come with those clean hands and a pure heart into his presence, in that seeking, he says, you will find. What will you find? You will find him, because that's the one whom you've come to seek for. You've come to seek out Jesus. And he says, you will find me in that seeking. So we can seek. We can seek for something. We can even lose something. And we seek it out. We try and find it. So it also means to be on the lookout. We're told to seek the Lord with our whole hearts. And that is what God was constantly working with the children of Israel in their pilgrimage, was to get them to seek the Lord, to find out what he was saying. And this is, of course, why he raised up the prophets and the priests and leaders, so that they could seek the Lord and find out what the Lord is saying. As it says in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, I'll read it to you just quickly. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, he says, "And if by people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land." They were to seek him. And sometimes God requires us to seek him, to find him out. I'm reminded many times in Jesus' ministry, where Jesus went and he ministered, and the people went and sought after him, to seek him out where he was. You see? Some were nosy, some were desperate, some were going to try and betray him. Many people who were seeking, but were not seeking with the right motives. So again, it comes back to these motives again. How do we seek God? What are my motives in seeking him? Am I seeking him so that I can just have my belly filled because I'm hungry and we're having a lot of food, money for food, and it's getting pretty hard? So I think I'll seek God because it pays to seek him. Forget it. You ain't going to get food that way. It is a wrong motive. Or you're seeking him simply to get healed or delivered. Again, if that's all you're seeking him for, then you won't. And that's why there were many who sought the Lord. And many times the Lord turned round and he challenged them. He challenged the motives. He said, what have you really come out for? What are you really seeking? Are you seeking just for your temporal needs? Or are you seeking eternal life? What is the motive? Because I am the only one that can give eternal life. I am the only one that can forgive sins. You see, he challenged them. And he does exactly the same with us. And in order to do that, we have to seek him. Seek him out. And in that seeking, he's going to work with us to find out what the motives are, you see. You see, sin has stopped man from seeking God. And this is the tragic problem. Satan knew this when he tempted Adam and Eve. He knew also that by tempting them, they would no longer seek God with all their heart. How do we know that? Because we know they hid from God. So there wasn't a seeking God at that point when they were hiding and running away from him. The enemy knew it, you see. We know this also in Romans 3 verses 10 and 11. Romans chapter 3 verses 10 and 11. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable." He says, there's not one that seeks me. Tonight, brethren, we are seeking God because he's put it in our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's very humbling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it would not be in us otherwise. And so we need to be very much on our guard. What motive do I have in seeking God? Well, I would say that the first motive for seeking God is to seek his presence and to fellowship and to commune with him. Because that is ultimately what God has saved you and I for his glory, is for that fellowship, for that communion with him. And I think that is worth seeking for and continuing to seek and to press in for that, because everything will stem from that in seeking the presence of the Lord. And that's why, you see, in doing that, we're encouraged to ask and to seek and to seek out his will. And you see, as you seek his presence, you seek that fellowship with him, so then you will find the word of God is then started to be opened up to you, and then you seek the word of God, you seek his will. You find out what he's saying. You find out what his will is. You see, so many Christians don't really know what the will of God is. And the reason is because they're not seeking him. And the only way you'll find out what his will is in the word of God. As you meditate in it, as you read it, as you listen to it, as you come under its anointing, then you find that there is a stirring up in which to seek the Lord. So often we're busy in seeking other things, looking for other things, things that are just temporal needs that we think that is somehow going to give us eternal life, but they don't. The only one that can give us eternal life is the one whom we seek, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
There's nothing else that can do it. And yet the enemy will try and come along, and he will try and trip us up. And you have got myriads upon myriads of people studying, students at university, children at school, all going through the books, doing what? Seeking out knowledge, information. And all, what does that do? All that simply does, as the Bible tells us, puffs man up more and more in pride and in knowledge. That's right. Exactly what the Apostle Paul addressed to the church at Corinth. In fact, it's toil and sweat, we're told, through much learning. That is the wrong sort of seeking. When you seek God, he will give you everything and more that you need to seek out and to find, because the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you. And sometimes he might lead you to anointed books in order to seek out certain references or information. But all of that will line up with the Word of God and will glorify the Lord. You see, there are many professing Christians who are seeking out things, but they doesn't glorify God. And it's not led by the Holy Spirit. They think it is, but it isn't. And all it will do at the end of the day is just puff them up and give them more head knowledge. And head knowledge is nothing but confusion. And sadly, we have so many in churches in the house of God who are confused. And the reason being is they're seeking the wrong knowledge. Mm. They're not really seeking first and foremost the Lord, his glory. Well, we've looked at asking, we've looked at seeking, we're now going to look at knocking, at the area of knocking. And the idea of this knocking is being persistent. It's sometimes staying with it, knocking, knocking, knocking until the door is open. And of course, to get a wonderful analogy of this, we find this in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, where it speaks of the parable of the persistent widow.
where she knocks and knocks and knocks, and in the end she gets the master up. And this is the idea of knocking. Let's just read this in Luke 18, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me for my activity, my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So here we see God acknowledges knocking. Determination, not giving up, being persistent. And you see, knocking shows we won't be denied. Now, like all of these things, you won't really be able to do this unless the Holy Spirit has put this within you. To be persistent, to stay with it, to keep knocking. Now, what does this knocking mean? Does it mean that once you've asked God in faith for whatever it is that's revealed in the Word of God, you keep asking him all the time? When are you going to heal me, Lord? When are you going to heal me? When are you going to heal me? That is not knocking. What is knocking is, you have prayed according to Mark 11, 24, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing you have received, you asked him. You don't have to keep on asking him. God isn't deaf. He doesn't forget. What this knocking is thanking, praising the Lord that I am healed. Thanking, praising him that I have received on the basis of his word. You don't have to keep reciting over and over again. God heard you the first time if it was faith. Now, if you find yourself keep repeating and asking God for healing, finances, loved one, or whatever it is, you have to ask yourself whether you were in faith the first time. And therefore, there isn't that true knocking. You're not. You see, this widow that persisted, she persisted with the master because she knew he could do it. She wasn't doubting that he would get up and avenge her enemy. She knew exactly he got the authority to do it, so she kept knocking until she got him up. So there's the faith. There's the persistence. And that is what God looks for us. He looks for a persistent faith, a faith that believes that the door will open. And I will knock and knock and knock and knock until the door is open. Now, how many of us really knock in that way? Do we really believe that door will open? Why, no, we don't. How do we know? Because we find ourselves not knocking much longer. Well, he's not going to answer. I've been here 3 days. I've wasted my time. What is manifesting out of us? Pride. I'm not going to wait. If he can't open the door to me, well then, you know, I'll go somewhere else, which we do. So you see, somebody who persists, who knocks, comes knocking with the right heart and motive. A heart and a motive is, how long this takes, I'm going to remain here by the mercy and grace of God. And that's what we call by staying with it, staying with the word, staying with those promises. enduring to the end so that we'd be saved, as the Word of God says. That is a type of knocking. It's a type of staying with it. And this, of course, is what she did. Equally with that, you've got to make sure that you're knocking at the right door.
Yeah.
This woman went, she knew exactly where the master was, so she'd made no mistake. You know, she didn't start knocking, think, oh gosh, I hope I've got the wrong person here, you know? Sometimes, I don't know whether you've ever been somewhere, you're due to go and see someone and you've forgotten the address. And you're not quite sure if this is the number or not. I remember I did that once, and I was very unsure whether to ring, not this door. I thought, I'm sure this is the number, and praise God it was. But I couldn't really knock very well or sound the bell because I was hesitant. No, that's not what God wants of us. If we know that God hears us when we knock, we can come boldly to that door and we can knock it. Firmly, you see, with confidence. But not only that, also knocking is a way of making yourself heard. Knocking tells God, here I am, I'm outside, I'm here. Knocking tells him that you're there, believing, standing on the promises, and you're knocking and knocking just to let God know you're in faith, believing, praising him, worshipping him, counting it all joy. Heard it all before, have you? Of course you have. You're knocking away there. Well, God's not going to turn his back on anyone like that. And of course we see that many times. Those who came persistent for healing weren't going to give up until they received. That was a form of knocking. And sometimes it did look ridiculous. Sometimes they did look stupid in front of the crowd. But they were persistent. They knocked and they were going to receive. That door was going to be open. But not only that, that knocking also tells the person inside that somebody is outside. That's what it's telling. So that the Father may be glorified.
Praise.
It comes back to the right motive. Why am I knocking? That is the question that God raises tonight. Maybe some of you, if not all of us, are finding ourselves, we're knocking. Well, then God is saying to you, why are you knocking? And you need to ask yourself why it is you're knocking before God. If you are not knocking in order for God to open the door that your Heavenly Father may be glorified in that door opening, then you are knocking for the wrong reasons. Again, the motives are wrong. And therefore pride will be present, and pride will be hindered, offended, because he hasn't opened the door to me. How dare him? Sometimes we get angry with God. And sometimes, sadly, that anger is because God didn't open the door. And so we're angry. But what God is trying to tell us is, well, your problem was you didn't come in faith. You see, if you come in faith, faith means you come with the right motive, the right heart. Because faith is not defiled. Faith is not unholy. Faith is holy. A mustard seed of faith is a holy seed, a holy faith before God for him to be glorified. You see? And he's showing us what a holy faith is. You could almost say, Lord, is this a holy knocking or not? Is this a holy asking or not? Is this a holy seeking or not? I don't think that's theologically wrong at all. In fact, we'll get God's attention if we seek him in that way. But as I bring this to its conclusion, did you know also, talking of doors, knocking, that Jesus does this as well? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. So there we that speaks again of the marriage feast, that dining. And he says that he stands at a door and he knocks. And he says, do you hear that knock? Do you hear my voice? Because he says, if you do and you want to, you can open up. You can open that door. And that open door is the deeper life in the spirit, to go deeper with God. And those who are going deeper now, being worked upon as sons, the bride, are those who've heard that knock, have responded, have opened, and they're now getting ready for fellowship, for dining. That is what it's about.
Glory.
So there we are. He also does that. But we do exactly the same. When you turn it round the other way, we knock away, but God says, I can't open up to that. Because you come in the wrong motive. You come in unbelief. You've not come believing. And so the question now we need to ask ourselves is, am I believing in asking? Am I believing in seeking? Am I believing in knocking? Some of you tonight may raise a question, well, to Pastor, I'm not absolutely sure. You've raised this tonight, but I've really got to have to seek God about this. I can't really give you an answer. Well, praise God, you can seek him.
Yeah.
You can ask him. This is why we give you the word of God, and this is why saints take notes. They write down, because there are things in that they say, they see, I need to talk to my father about this. And so you go before him and you ask these questions. Am I really in faith in asking? Am I really in faith in seeking? Am I really in faith in knocking? And if I'm not, little wonder why things are not happening in my life. Quite simple, isn't it? And why it's not happening is because the motives are wrong. And that is why God is humbling us, breaking us. Because pride will always hinder wrong motives.
That's right, yeah.
It's its nature. Because self wants to be elevated. Therefore, the Father cannot be glorified in the Son. And that is the principle. Jesus showed that in his earthly ministry. He said, I do nothing except what the Father bids or shows. All he ever desired was that God, his Father, would be glorified. Mm-hmm. He said, when you see the works, they're not my works, they're the Father's.
Yeah.
The one who sent me. And we do exactly the same. In whatever God does or manifests through us, no, it's not me. This is Jesus Christ in me doing this for the glory of his Father. I can only say tonight that my preaching and teaching can only be for the glory of God. And this is God working this through me to glorify his name.
Yeah, amen.
I come with any other motive or reason, and God can never anoint this message.
No.
And yet we have so many in pulpits who come with the wrong motives and reasons.
That's right.
They go because the crowd is big and the offerings will be good. Or they go because they know that they're a good crowd. There's so many wrong motives and reasons. I've had in the past ministers come to me, or you get to that church, I'll get you there and you can preach, because I can tell you now the offerings are good. And I had to say under my breath, get thee behind me, Satan.
Mm.
Oh, I've heard it out of their mouths. Many of these televangelists are preaching with the wrong motives.
That's right.
Little wonder signs of healing and deliverance, salvation are not really following. A lot of this, what we see, is nothing but hype and emotion. It's bogus.
Amen.
They're frauds. But there's coming a day and an hour when you will see again the true signs following. Because that is where God will be glorified. It'll be men who desire only one thing, that God will be glorified.
That's right, amen.
They're not interested in anything else. And all their boasting is in the cross of Christ, and not themselves and their ministry and how many followings they have and how big the organization is. That's all you ever read in these pamphlets and booklets. Gone are those days. Those ministries are in the balance. God says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And we're now in the process of shaking. And he's going to shake and shake and shake and shake and shake until only that which stands upon the rock will stand in this last day. Everything else will tumble and fall and perish. Yeah,
praise the Lord.
It's happening. And that's why we need to take heed. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. If you do not desire with all your heart to glorify your Heavenly Father, then God is still having to do major spiritual surgery with you, because you have not learned a divine principle. It is the commandment. The first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your being as well. The whole lot, the whole being, to love him. What is loving him? That is glorifying him. And so you can do that in your asking, seeking and knocking. Father, tonight again we thank you for speaking to us.
Yes.
Challenging us. Delivering us. Lord, you have shown tonight that there are wrong motives, attitudes, when we come and when we seek you. But Lord, even though it's challenged us and it's exposed, it's because you love us. You don't want us to be in blindness. You don't want us to seek, knock, and all those things that you've given, Father, so that we go away not receiving. You want to glorify your name in giving to us. Because, Father, that is your heart, it is your nature. You are so generous, you are so giving, you're so loving. But, Father, it is sin still within us that blocks. And, Father, you've only asked for a mustard seed of faith, but that faith must be a holy faith. A holy seed, not blemished, tarnished in any way, then our prayers will be heard. Our seeking, our finding, our knocking, it will happen. And you will eventually open up. And you will take delight in opening up and us and answering our prayers. And the reason you take delight is because you always desire that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, make this a living reality to us, we ask, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And Father, I pray now your blessing, preservation upon all my brothers and sisters, all those who come into the room tonight, Lord, preserve and keep them by the blood of the Lamb and by the sealing of the Holy Spirit.
Lord.
Bless them when they go out and when they come in. And Lord, I pray in their trials and their tests that their faith will fail not. And that, Lord, they will take your word, that word they've heard tonight, deep into their hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. In Jesus' name.